What do you get the man who has everything? Everything reminds me of something. Adam's sixth book.
Here's how the Elf on a Shelf conversation would have gone in 1972 when my parents were still married. Hey, Jim, there's something called Elf on a Shelf. What's that? It's for kids. You go to the store and buy a stuffed pass.
Stuff the stocking of someone you love or a liberal pussy you hate. Click the banner on AdamCarolla.com. Now let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Ornie Adams back in studio. Not only is he going to be at Jimmy's Club December 29th, 30th, but before that, December 16th, 17th, he'll be at the Bray Improv, and then soon to be joining the cast of Cirque du Soleil.
Oh, are you doing Matt Apple?
I am, yeah. What is it? What am I doing?
Brad Williams, like, started it. That's why we know about it. He's been on to talk about it.
Yeah.
Good luck to you. It's going to be like a fucking acid trip with a fever dream.
It's a nightmare already, isn't it? I shouldn't have taken it. Yeah. My agent tried to talk me out of it.
Did he?
First, they offered me 6 months. He goes, you'll lose your mind. I can't be anywhere for 6 months.
Tilt your mic up.
Especially
a little
Vegas.
Bit
it's my first time in broadcasting.
Yeah.
Then, so they said six months. I said, no. Not even like, we didn't even counter. No.
Right.
They said, how about 3 months? No. 2 months? No. How about the month of December? Well, I'm already at, you know me, Turncoat Adams.
Yeah. Right.
I'm at Kimmel's.
Playing Sun City over at Kimmel's.
Right. Kimmel's. And then I'm in Brea. This is a good month for me.
Right.
Big tickets. Mm-hmm. So they said, what about the first 2 weeks? Well, I was at a theater last week, so I couldn't do it. So I said, how about 1 week for what you were going to pay me for 6 months?
And?
They said no. But I'm doing it. They came up and we negotiated and I'm doing it.
Brad said it's really fun.
I'm glad you're honest and an open book about this stuff because so often people go, what made you decide? And it's like, so I can get paid.
Right.
They don't say to roofers, what made you decide to go with the three-tab presidential? It's like, I'm getting paid to climb onto somebody's roof and do something. Like that's every job in the world, except for when it comes to anything creative. Then we have to be inspired. Right. We want to change the minds and hearts of children and the nation or whatever. No. Comedians like getting paid to do shit like mailmen get paid to do shit.
Yeah, I thought two things. One, and first of all, I thought it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a good talking point. People get excited. My corporate fee will go through the roof.
Yeah.
But I only have to do a week to say I was in the cast of Cirque du Soleil.
Sure.
No one's going to say how long. I'll go long enough.
And everyone who's out of context will think you can blow yourself because once you say I was in the cast of Cirque du Soleil, everyone goes, I guess
he could do
doesn't need a partner.
Guess you don't know about the audition process.
The thing about comedians, which is interesting as it just popped in my head, they will simultaneously want, you know, if you said to Jay Leno, hey, I got a corporate gig for you in Nebraska, I have $6,000. She'd go, getting on planes, you know, it would be, I'm guessing 50 would be the minimum, probably more like 100. Like, but if you said to him, hey, come on out to the Improv and do 15 minutes for $100, he'd go like, man, what night?
Right.
Like, all the comedians I've ever worked with will either work for ostensibly free or negotiate and argue over doing, well, does it have to be an hour? Can I do 40 minutes? You know what I mean? And why is it 75K? Why not 100K? You know, like, they'll just negotiate, or do shit for free.
Same job.
There's no middle.
There's no middle whatsoever. My corporate fee is way up there.
Yes.
But you're right. I was at the Improv the other night for gas money.
$30 sometimes.
They used to call it gas money.
Which, by the way, suggests that what you do is not very difficult.
Right.
And because I don't think, like, if you build cinder block walls, you don't have I could do it over here, I'd want $50,000, but for you, I'll do it for $5.
Right.
Like, it's blocks.
Well,
it's work.
The clubs initially, going back to when I started, they were doing us a favor.
Mm-hmm.
You can be seen.
Right.
Here's your opportunity to build your act.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm beyond that point.
Yes.
Now I want to get paid.
Yes. And thus the Cirque. And what? How much time do you do? Did you work
10 minutes.
Oh.
In the middle of the show. And then I had to sit there and take a bow That was the big negotiation. Can I leave when the show's over? I'm going to stick around.
No, when your show's over.
Yeah, when I'm done. Right.
Yeah.
No, you know why you can't? Because Brad Williams, when he did it, there was a little accident during one of the acrobats, and he had to come out and stall. And
well, I'm charging extra for that. I'm not kidding. Yeah. If there's an injury and I have to go out there like a rodeo clown and divert attention away from the blood pile, sorry, that's not in the contract. 8 to 10 minutes a night. If I haven't done it already, I'm sorry that Brad's a team player. Maybe that's why he's doing so well, but I'm not. I'm about the bottom line.
Got it.
I will donate 10% to some organization if somebody is hurt and I have to rodeo clown it and charge more.
Yeah, like there's children of parents that perished on the wheel of death. .org.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you could.
It's a 501c3.
You could throw them 10 bucks.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why, but I always get depressed when I see those commercials or those billboards along the highways they always have here with the kids whose parents work for the
construction.
They work for the road crew that's cleaning stuff up. They're like, my mom and my dad are out there. Like, take it easy with your drunk driving. I'm like, look, if your dad's picking up garbage by the side of the freeway, you should hope he's clipped by a guy who's fully insured, and then you just hammer that check.
Yeah.
I'd be doing you a favor, you little shit. Yeah. I don't know why this popped my head, but I know you kind of got started with Seinfeld. But you got the doc. Was it Comedian?
Yeah.
And Seinfeld, and there's always that connection there, and I was with Spike Ferriston over the weekend doing the car stuff, but I don't know if you had any connection with Spike.
No, I don't. I barely have a connection with Seinfeld at this point. We haven't really kept in touch. I don't get it.
There was a little bit of a debacle that went down with that story. And I will say this as an aside. It was kind of nice because I was talking to Spike, who talks to Seinfeld every day, and he said, hey, did Paul McCartney come out to your show at the Improv? And I said, yeah, he did. And he said, oh, good, because I sent that picture over to Jerry. And I said, why? And he said, because he says he's friends with Paul McCartney, which I'm sure he is. Right. But I asked him if Paul's ever come out to one of his shows, and he said no.
That's great.
I like a little ball busting.
Yeah, to be competitive.
What was that story? I have a vague memory.
You know the story. This is like, you know, I met Brooke Shields once, and she said, this is your Blue Lagoon. Mm-hmm. She said, you're going to have to talk about this in every interview for the rest of your career. Mm. The story was, it's very simple, and you can see how I would get into this situation. I was working in New York City. I was one of the comedians that was playing every single club every night, and I was on top of the world. Nothing could dethrone my excitement. You know, I'm closing these comedy clubs in New York City, and I'm inviting women out, and it's it's a social launching pad. And then all of a sudden, Seinfeld decides to come around with his dated act and take some of the stage time. So, you know, they go, hey, Orny, we're going to put Jerry on instead of you tonight. I'm like, but my four friends from Staten Island. Looks like your four friends are enjoying Jerry more than they enjoy you. So this kept going on. Like, I was closing. Even back then, they would have me call. And we're talking, there's like Chappelle on the show and Lucy. I mean, you know, great comics I'm working with. Heavy hitters. And not that they weren't closing or good enough, obviously. But in my memory is I was closing. And one night, he had this camera crew with him over and over again. Every time I saw the crew, if I walked in and saw the stupid guy with the camera.
You knew Seinfeld was there.
Yeah, I knew Seinfeld was coming. So one night, they said, you know, you seem very animated. This doesn't sound like me. Like, you imagine me complaining to everybody that Seinfeld's, you know, hot off the greatest sitcom of all time.
Certainly.
So they said, do you mind if we record you? We want to ask you some questions. They said, what do you think of Jerry's act? I said, I don't think it's that good. I think it's dated. His cadence is dated. The topics are uninteresting. You know, get with the times.
Yeah, all the guys are doing a shit myself in the aisle at the Walmart now, and he's still talking about
airplane food.
Airplane food and what happened to the other sock.
Right. I guarantee that guy will be opening for me in Vegas. That guy. You'll see. You'll see. So they showed Jerry the tape, and Jerry said, quote unquote, this is the most honest man. Nobody has the balls to criticize me. Follow him. Now, people have now surmised that this was done as an elaborate hoax to ruin my career, to follow me and put me in this documentary. That's not the way I feel. I think Jerry had good intentions, but you have to create this contrast, mm-hmm. okay? Now, there were two versions of the documentary. The first version was very kind to me. Mm-hmm. It showed me moving to Los Angeles and getting a deal with Warner Brothers Television, and it showed more stand-up. It was a cool version. Then it got sold to Miramax, and I was vilified.
Mm.
And to this day –
Weinstein.
I am still considered the villain. People come up to me. They're still angry.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Netflix. Ago, I saw you in the new Seinfeld. It's not even HD, but they saw me in the new Seinfeld.
Right.
Seinfeld's now producing projects, but in, 720p.
Right.
So they go, you're a whore. I'm a villain in a documentary that has Bill Cosby. And was executive produced by Harvey Weinstein.
Wow. That's saying something.
It's hard to do.
At what point?
Let me try to put you in a better mood. You brought up Brooke Shields.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Is that when I lost you? Because saw you.
No, but okay. I started thinking about Brooke. Yeah. But no, I was there for every syllable.
Okay.
Don't ask me what you said. I saw Brooke Shields on some commercial because she's some new Lifetime, Christmas something where she plays the mom. You know, I keep a list of women I could now fuck.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Who, it began with Charlene Tilton from Dallas.
Mm.
She was a perky, little, diminutive, beautiful blonde. She was probably 22. I was babysitting at 14. All I could do was stare at the TV set with a boner. But now,
gettable.
I could get her.
Okay.
She's probably in her 60s.
Right.
She hasn't worked in 30 years.
Yeah. The X and Y axis.
Yeah, right. We started when I was 13 or 14 at the bottom of an X. Charlene Tilton was on one side. Yeah. Adam Carolla was on the other. And we started way. And I may have crossed Charlene Tilton. We got to find out how old she is.
Yeah, can I ask you a question? Like, would you now that you could sleep with her, is she still something you would want to sleep with? It feels like
I'm
maybe,
thinking about it.
Remember, the inverse. Oh, you are? Okay.
I'm considering it.
Okay.
So
she's 64.
At some point, we will cross. And I think I crossed her.
Yeah.
I may have still been in my 30s when I crossed her. I had the man show going.
Uh-huh.
I had Loveline going. She, whatever, Dallas or Falcon Crest or Dynasty or whatever shit show she was on was long. That was history. That was
She was at Ewing. She was on Dallas.
She was on Dallas.
Yeah.
Cute.
Yeah, very.
But a lot of it is probably may have put on a couple pounds, got a little, worked her way out of the business a little.
I don't think I could get her now. I don't think I've crossed.
Oh, well.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you, Charlene. Look, the ultimate.
You don't.
You're looking at a picture of her?
She's a 64-year-old woman. God bless her.
Hey, look,
she just looks like the way she's supposed to look.
She was in her early 50s when I passed
Dog.
Her.
No.
That's when I crossed.
Mm. Got it. Brooke Shields is 57.
The ultimate.
Yeah.
When are we getting to Brooke Shields, Arnie?
Well, she's married to Chris Henchy.
Yeah.
They have kids.
We're not going to factor that in.
Okay.
Yeah.
She probably likes, men with a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
You've done well. You're very active. You're out of the house a lot.
I am. I'm out right now.
These are great. I think this is what women are looking for. Not something
out of the house?
Yeah. You can fix shit.
Chris
can't fix anything.
Oh, yeah. He helped create Funny or Die?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Are they still together?
It seems to be.
Oh,
what
have
you done for me lately?
Let me tell you something about Chris, because I used to play basketball with this guy. So I've got the rub on Chris. I know anything you need to know. He's the guy in the room that, I'm around all these super famous people. And so I'd be more timid, to throw out a funny line.
Right.
So I'd sort of say it softly. And then Chris would repeat it loudly and get the laugh.
Oh, really?
And just sort of look at me like, he knew what he was doing.
Cyrano de Bergerac.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm the reason he's married to Brooke.
Interesting.
Yeah.
If only she knew.
She knows.
Oh, okay.
That'll be part of my pitch, by the way, in my X-crossing thing.
Yeah. Here's the
other
thing.
Well, look, I think I could get most of the cast of Dallas at this point.
Jane Wyman.
Falcon Crest.
Uh-huh.
For sure. Mm. Bonanza, if they're still alive.
Mm-hmm.
What about
Current? Is there anybody on a Current big show?
No, we have to wait for them to put on weight and get older and for the business to dry up.
So you don't get the hot the hot, I don't want to say the word, but the hot women. The
No.
Yeah.
No.
You put them on. This seems like a self-esteem issue.
Time out. Because I don't want to put words in her mouth, but I'm pretty sure Natasha Henstridge would be available to maybe. It in some parallel universe.
And God rest her soul, Anne Heche.
Sure.
Taking a lap.
Right. You might have been the last thought to go through her brain.
Quite possibly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not provable, but I'd like to think it's likely.
You know what I think? I bet there is somebody out there that is so like beyond gorgeous of a specimen of a woman with a brain.
Thank you.
Successful, yeah. Classy, that has a fetish for Adam Carolla.
Mm. It has to be a fetish.
It's a fetish.
A perversion.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she's not well. She's not well.
Twisted.
Undiagnosed mental
probably
issue.
Probably ancient trauma she's dealing with.
Probably dad
recently
in the picture.
Uncovered a lot of memories.
Yeah.
A lot of memories. Yeah. Uncovered memories are never, we went to Disneyland and had a corn dog. So somebody dropped a digit.
There is somebody that if she came forward, you would say, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know I was that successful.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, you'd be all cocky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd go back to, you know, Adam Carolla 1987.
She's probably not allowed out on her own recognizance, but she's out there. She exists.
I don't think she's that far off of, you know,
she can get a day pass.
Okay. All right.
I don't think she's, you know, I think she's actually somebody that we would be envious of.
Is this a dream team situation?
Yeah, I think so. Michael Keaton, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think there's one out there.
Orny, in our long list of comedians who I talk to on a weekly basis who do not have children, who are made it into their 50s, can we add you to that
list? Yeah, please do.
And
Survivor.
Is too. Tell me if this is correct.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, when you talk to men or women who are older and just never had kids and they're not going to have kids, they would do a lot of, oh, you're so lucky, I'm so envious, blah, blah, blah. And then they would do a lot of just never really met the right person to like settle down. The newer theme is, fuck all you people with kids. I'm enjoying my shit.
Yes.
And I'll see you in hell.
Yeah.
Like they're always thinking it. But they have to give a pretense of like, oh, what a gift that you have these two little things that just suck money and life from your soul.
I've never been married either. And then I'll go out on dates and like, whoa, the women are like, you've never been married. I'm like, you've been divorced twice. You're the one with a marriage problem.
Yeah, right.
True. Yeah.
Not me. I mean, I go home. I was home for Thanksgiving. My nephew, okay, the kid's like 10. I ask him to do something. Like, oh, could you help us empty the dishwasher? The kids get up from the table and they just go on their devices.
Yes.
And now the adults clean.
No.
I waited my entire life to not clean.
Yeah.
So I said, hey, I won't say his name. I go, let's go, dishwasher. He said, I don't have to listen to you.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know how to talk to kids. Because you don't have kids.
Oh, boy.
And you'll never have kids because no woman would ever marry you.
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
He's not wrong.
Did he see that Seinfeld doc?
He's not wrong, but he's out of the will. That kid is out of the will.
Wow.
I rewrite my will when I'm at home, and I'm just moving piles of cash around.
There's no reverence. The only thing that's good about getting old is you would have kids. Theoretically, kids were going to listen to you.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, the rules were you had to listen to any adult at any time, no matter who they were.
Fuck yeah.
You could listen to your own parents.
Right.
Playground.
Any authority.
Your friends' parents had the ultimate authority over you. And even their fucking friends would buy. I got busted getting into the refrigerator and stuff, but it wasn't my buddy Chris's mom. It was her friend who was able to yell at me in the kitchen.
Yeah,
excuse you.
The old days, your friends' parents were allowed to hit you.
Oh, sure.
Been hit twice.
Tell them by who?
Roberta Messicks. Oh, you don't know her.
No.
Oh, Grandpa Al Lewis.
Grandpa Munster.
Oh, really?
Grandpa Munster.
He had a comedy club in Staten Island for a while.
They...
Why did he hate you?
Adam will play
I'll tell you why. That's my son thing.
Right.
Ben, you can find... Jimmy just texted me like a weird old Grandpa Al 1-800-HEAR-A-GHOST-STORY phone number.
What?
Remember when those pay per, you know, yes. 45 cents for the first minute, whatever. And they would just pull all these old stars out of their crypt and put that makeup on them and tell them, just talk to the kids and we'll give you 10 cents for every minute the kid stays on the line. He just sent me that because he knew I was in terror of Grandpa Al.
Is it still up and running?
I have no idea where Jimmy found this thing, but he sent it to me. Anyway.
What, can I continue on this topic?
He hit me, sorry. Okay. And Roberta hit me, both in a Volvo station wagon.
Oh,
both in the back seat.
There's a theme.
Just wild hand, just flailing, smack in the head.
The same Volvo or?
No. They didn't even know each other.
See, in the old days, there's nobody really young except for the guy who walked me in with the white glasses.
Yeah,
So they... Kids used to come home and say, the Szymanskis, I'm pulling a name from my town. The Smiths hit me. Well, what did you do?
Yeah.
Right.
I threw food at somebody.
Oh.
And then your mom or dad would pick up the phone and they'd call the Smiths and go, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for hitting my kid.
It takes a village.
What do I have to say? Condone? There has to be
I never told either one of my parents that I was hit by other people's parents.
Mm. Yeah, because then you're just making it worse.
Yeah, why do I want to relive this? What'd you do? It's going to be the first one. The worst is mum's the word with me. You could have dropped a digit on me. I wouldn't have said a thing. But Roberta felt bad.
Mm.
And she told my mom, and then it got weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A little bit sexual. And I was just like, can we just go away, please?
How old were you?
34.
Yeah.
Probably 10.
Do you remember what you did?
Yeah, I remember. I deserved it.
Okay. Well, yeah, of course.
Grandpa Al, we'll watch him begging for money. Probably shot in 1992.
Flashbacks here.
But Brian, I don't know about you, but even just the thumbnail looks familiar.
Grandpa Al, I don't remember what I said because you didn't need to say anything for Grandpa Al. He had a can of whoop ass that was already half open between his legs when he drove. You know what I mean? That's how he rolled.
Yeah.
Roberta, I remember clearly because I deserved it.
Yeah, what'd you do?
Well, I was playing that weird handsy slap game with Monty, her son. You know, massage, slap, that no one knows the name of, but
slap
game.
Hand slap. We're sitting and
Look, you want to play this?
Yeah,
that's the name.
Put your hands.
You put two hands on top of somebody else's hands, and you try to flip them over and slap.
Yeah, there's a name for it, but nobody knows it. And we're trying to do that for a game that has been played endlessly by all generations of Americans. The fact that we do not have a title for it that anyone recognizes is weird.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing that's weird. There are all these rules, like how much you can move the shoulder.
Flinch.
Is it a flinch? Is it a balk? I was the king of the same hand.
Yeah.
I was good at that. I was trying to distract Monty, so I tried to. I tried to mimic Roberta's voice.
Oh, boy.
And she was like, you know, Monty, you know, is your seatbelt on? And then I was like, yeah, Monty. And it was like, smack. My hands, ironically, were out. I could not protect myself. You know, I could not.
Yeah.
They say protect yourself at all times.
Yeah.
The slap that I thought was coming to the top of my hand just came across my face while my hands were out.
It was like a tag team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The family came
That's
for
right.
you.
Here's Grandpa Al from 1989, I don't know. During the
Hiya, kids. Height it's of the me, your friend Grandpa. I gotta tell you, I am starting a new club, and I want you to join. It's called the Junior Vampires of America. I mean, you'll hear scary monster stories. Now, to call, you gotta ask your parents' permission and call this phone number, 1-900-909-4300.
You'll hear all about my monster friends. Learn how to get a free vampire patch and a list of special vampire tricks and secrets. So call 1-900-909-4300. Learn how to scare your friends, even yourself. Join Grandpa's Junior Vampires of America Club, and I will make you a junior vampire.
Hey, kids, call 1-900-909-4300.
I'm sure that resonated with the kids of the late
1-900-909-4300 to hear Grandpa's scary stories and join the Junior Vampires Club. Wow. Just $2 a first minute, 45 cents each additional. Ooh, ask mom or dad first.
I'm sorry to say that this phone number is no longer doesn't work.
Can I just say this?
Yeah.
Is that the original Cameo?
Oh, sure.
Maybe.
I just joined Cameo today. I just finally. Are you on there?
I'm in a cover band for the band Cameo, but I'm not yeah. I'm not doing I do it once in a while.
So yeah. You can turn it on and off?
Yeah, you can turn it on and off.
I'm doing it. We've got this Teen Wolf movie coming out.
Oh,
so I thought
right.
for 2 months, I'll just blow the whistle and call people stupid
right.
for money. Because then it's not really me. It's Coach.
Yeah, that's one of your most recognizable roles, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And that's why my nephew should not have said what he said to me. Right. I'm a big deal. These kids need to realize I'm a big deal.
You're Coach Finstock?
I'm Coach Finstock.
Are you really?
Yeah, when you see me in the public, it's like...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
Coach Finstock was the best character of the whole first movie.
Well,
loved him.
Watch the TV show.
Everything else is cream cheese.
Yeah, we said that. Yeah, the pilot.
How old were you?
We just shot the movie.
No, but weren't you... Oh, you weren't the original.
No.
Oh, sorry.
No,
okay,
we did, believe it or not, 100 episodes.
Wow. For what?
It was on MTV.
No, I mean, why?
Why? No. For what?
For a reason.
To what end?
For money.
Yeah.
Yeah. For fame. For adulthood. You know why? So I can get booked at the Jimmy Kimmel Comedy Club.
That's
and
right.
And it's a big deal when I walk out in Cirque du Soleil on my trapeze. So I fly out and do jokes. Yeah,
I mean... Did you guys ever, speaking of, I don't know why the 1-900 ones, they used to have the sexy ones that would be the advertisement at the end of the porn movies or at the beginning maybe, because you could call in. But there were a lot of them, the ones I remember, I don't know, you guys tell me what you think of this. Yeah, porn's fine, but somehow I like the porn commercial more than the porn, the 1-900 number thing.
Yeah.
Because I used to look at it.
You're a fast finisher.
And she was, she would be blowing a guy and then taking a break and talking to you and then blowing a guy. And I remember when I was like, rent the tape, I was like 25.
Yeah.
She'd be like blowing a guy and she'd be like, oh, yeah. And then she'd pull the guy's dick out of her mouth. She'd go, hey. I've been thinking about you, and I'm like, well, really?
What the fuck?
What's going on here in between
blowing
guns? Never
once off camera. Hey, Mitch, come back to work. Yeah. Never once.
She'd be blowing the dude, then she'd be talking to me, saying she misses me, and she thinks I'm sexy, and she wishes I would call her, because she's lonely.
And she's looking right at you.
And then also, what about the point of view of the guy who's being blown? Like, who are you talking to?
Yeah. Right.
Why are you soliciting other dudes?
Why am I being cuckolded?
I thought we had something here.
And they weren't ethical, like Grandpa. Grandpa's like, ask your mom and dad if you can call.
Right.
These people are like, call in. And then you call, and you know they're pulling this to get the minutes, the minutes going. They're like, hold on, who is it? Oh, it's Adam? Okay, Adam, hold on a second. It's a little hot in here. I'm going to turn the heat down and take 30 seconds to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have some water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How's your day going?
Well, I'm making a Denver omelet. So you're kind of right in the middle of something here.
We can keep talking.
It's never timely to bring this up, but certainly these days. However, that being said, I don't know if Orny's ever heard the sex caller talking about the Holocaust.
Oh, man.
That we might need to revisit.
We had a thing where a sex caller called in and to Loveline many years ago, and she said, the guys are coming too fast, and I'm losing money. And I said, because you're overdoing it.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You go, you know, I'm 6'3", blonde, with a double D cup. You know what I mean? Like, you know, say you got a little back knee or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
slow it down.
Slow it down a little bit. And
Have any kids? Do you have any daughters?
Yeah, for
a few.
Some, I got stretch marks for days.
Yeah, I got the scars to prove it.
Right next to me.
I said, I slid into this thing where I was like, subliminally bring up stuff like Vietnam or the Holocaust or something that might slow it down a little bit.
But she didn't have a lot of nuance.
She didn't know
I don't think she knew what subliminally meant.
Yeah.
She didn't know what it meant, and right. I don't think she knew what the Holocaust was either.
Very much not.
Although, I'm sure if it was explained to her, she would then deny it.
Yeah.
But I'd like to think she's a pre-Holocaust denier.
Yeah.
Like if you knew what this was, you would deny it.
I was going to say, I haven't heard the call yet, but I would suspect nowadays it may make some men come faster.
That's true.
Oh, that's actually true. That's might right.
She's actually ahead of her time.
Yeah, ye may drop a load. I know, Ben, you can scour around the internet
They're
and see if you can find
somebody
it. But
offered
we're looking.
Introduce me to him.
Really?
Yeah.
You seem disgusted.
Well, I wonder why.
You're Jewish, right?
Hey, yeah.
Look at my shirt. I understand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I learned in the last show, that you were Jewish. I didn't realize that.
No.
And Adam, you're Jewish, too. We'll take
People he actually gets quite offended people when people think that.
Well, why would you want to be
lumped in with the chosen people? No. I wonder why.
No, I'm not Jewish. I'm Italian, and I've said it many times. I work construction. I taught boxing, and no one ever thought I was Jewish. And then I got into comedy, and everyone, well, you're Jewish, right?
Yeah.
But it's the job you take.
Yeah.
You should have named your son Avraham then.
Avraham.
Oh, wait, you named him Santino, so it wouldn't happen anymore.
I'm tired of being mistaken for a Jew.
I got to tell you something. No Jewish person. I hate the hard Jew.
Yeah.
No Jewish person would look at Adam and say, that's a Jewish person. We just wouldn't.
You wouldn't.
You do not know. Because what the Jews do, or the Jewish people, is we're sent to camp early on. And you see every archetype of Jewish person. So
Jewish
I can
camp,
pick them out from a mile away. That's the red-headed Jew. That's the Jew that walks like that. That's the overconfident
Jew. He's a Kohen. He's
like,
a Sephardic.
Even Bob Dylan. As cool as Bob Dylan is, there are times I see him on stage and go, the Jewishness just came out.
Yeah.
He just showed a little Jewishness.
Mm, yeah.
And it's not a bad thing,
mm-mm.
You know?
No.
I mean, it looks like you think it's a bad thing.
No, I just think. I just keep thinking about him singing at the Grammys like 8 years ago. I ain't going to work on Maggie's farm no more.
Oh, I love that.
But I thought. He's the worst farmhand ever. Like Bob Dylan threatening not to work on your farm is the best day you've ever had.
Can I give
30 Bob Dylans couldn't do the work of one Mexican on Maggie's farm. The idea that he's threatening the little spindly guy who couldn't move a bale of hay if you gave him a forklift.
He was folksy.
I'm saying bullet dodge, Maggie.
Can I give a clip suggestion for the booth?
Yeah, of course.
And I think you'll love this too.
Sure.
And I don't think anybody has seen this before. But let's look on YouTube for Bob Dylan singing Hava Nagila.
I would love that because didn't he convert or make like a Christian
album?
But
he's singing it with Orthodox Jews.
Oh, that I got to see.
On a telethon for like a local New York station.
Like it's always for the Chabad.
It might be Chabad, but it's like, which is a whole nother level of.
You know. Can I say this? When you get to this point in your career, like Bob Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
When you're asked to perform live and a wall of humanity comes and joins you on stage, you know, you got Tower of Power and this Stapleton Singers over there and 13 guys from 15 bands with 15 banjos.
Chicago's like, horn section.
Yeah, it's like a little tell that maybe you've lost your fastball. Yeah. Like, then it'll just hand you an acoustic guitar and go, the stool's over there, Bob. Like, there's a wall, sea of humanity behind him. Oh, we have
Tony Bennett, we'd love Lady Gaga to do this with you.
Yeah, when you see this clip, you'll say, no, this guy could never lose it.
Well, we have the Love Line audio
good.
Ready.
And then we go into Bob Dylan.
Then we go into Bob Dylan. Bring. Bring.
Hi, how you doing?
Ooh, hi, what's your name?
I'm Sugar.
Sugar, I'm Ace.
Hey, Ace.
Yeah, what are you wearing?
Well, I'm wearing a nice black garter. Just thinking about the Holocaust right now.
She's good.
Yeah, burn those shoes. Gas them in the shower, baby. Yeah.
I'm sending you my bill.
Yeah. Send them on the train to crack.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was her. I was trying to explain subliminal, but she didn't really.
You know, she takes notes well.
She's coachable.
She didn't dance around it. She didn't go, I'm thinking about 6 million dead Jews.
Ooh.
Ooh. Before we get into Orny's clip, fun fact about that call, number one, I screened that call back in the day. That was like 2002, 2003. Tom Arnold was the guest. It was late in the show. Might have been the last call. Might have been the last call of the show. And everyone was laughing so hard. I took a picture of Tom after the show, and I will post that picture.
Amazing.
Yeah, he went. Tom Arnold went ballistic. laughing.
Here's something else I just realized. My entire life, like I changed my name because it was very identifiable as being Jewish. And I was self-conscious. I was made fun of when I was a kid. I talk about it on my last comedy special. They'd say, oh, you're Jewish. You must be good with money. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm five. I don't have money.
Right, right.
You know, so I changed it. But now, and I said on the special, this is from a few years ago, I'm finally comfortable saying that I'm Jewish. And right in time for the new wave of anti-Semitism.
I know.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, like I've lost some of your viewers already today.
It was funny. Essentially, what happened to you is what happened to the bass player in Spinal Tap when he was supposed to emerge from that
the cocoon.
Yeah.
You sat in that cocoon guarding your Judom for all those years. And then the second you finally pried it open and stepped out, everyone else went right back in and it shut right on your hand.
Yeah. And I wasn't ashamed of it. I just didn't want to lead with it.
Right.
I didn't want it to be the first thing that they thought.
Right.
You know, I was like, let them hate me first for me, then hate me for being Jewish.
Yeah, I hate you for your words, not for your heritage. Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
What year is this from? We'll figure it out.
I think it was 89 up there.
It says 89, but it kind of...
Wow. He looks angry. Is that Harry Dean Stanton?
Harry Dean Stanton.
Always looks like he doesn't necessarily know where he is.
Wait, Harry Dean Stanton's Jewish?
I was going to say.
Honorary?
I love when John Popper makes fun of Bob Dylan's playing of the harmonica. That's my favorite. Oh, look, far be it for me to kick a Jew when he's down, but this song is your flan. You know what I mean? You got to do better in the dessert department.
We
you know
have
what I mean?
Like, songs.
You need something that's a little better than the Harry Dean Stanton.
I didn't see that coming. I knew it was for Chabad.
What's with the guy in the middle? No yarmulke. A little attitude problem there. Look, Bob just walks off before the song's over.
Wow.
He's clearly angry.
Well, I mean,
I think it's just Bob Dylan's demeanor is not wanting to be wherever he is.
Yeah. Okay, sure.
That's how it looks during
it's
the
rock
massage.
And roll. Yeah, 1989. So it is.
Yeah.
25th Shabbat telethon.
Yeah.
Chabad.
I don't know.
Don't get Chabad and Shabbat mixed up.
Oh, what I say? You know,
Chabad.
Is that
I
what
think
it was?
There's another version where he's singing.
Hmm. Well, he's obviously, you know, down with the cause.
Well, then he put out a Christmas album.
Yeah, I thought it was like a
Christmas. Here comes Santa Claus.
I did.
I thought he converted, like, to Christianity.
Oh, I don't know.
We got him back.
Okay.
We got him back.
Oh, good.
All right. Let's see. Ornie, want to hang out and do some news with us?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gino Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Beat news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Well, we have a new leader in the clubhouse for terror on the airlines, but we don't have any video of it, which I don't know. It's suspect because we always have video, but it's worth talking about. A woman who claimed to be former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie's niece injured six deputies after she was kicked off a Spirit Airlines flight on Thanksgiving Day. It's 25-year-old Shannon Epstein. She was asked to get off the plane in New Orleans after she asked a Latino family sitting nearby if they were smuggling cocaine. When deputies arrived,
were they
funny?
Were they?
Let them answer.
Never got a clear answer. So when the deputies arrived, she refused to get off the plane. She started getting wild in the jet bridge, became extremely combative.
Well, so were the deputies called because she asked the question?
I think so.
You know,
like she was harassing people.
It's fentanyl. It's not cocaine.
That's right.
It's in case anyone's thinking about questioning any Hispanic people on a Spirit Airline flight. You go with fentanyl every time.
If you can afford cocaine, aren't you on Delta?
Yeah, you're not on. Thank you.
You're just muling it, Orny.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just mules.
It's an overhead corner.
Maybe she saw something and she's saying something.
No, maybe. Don't you remember that movie Maria Full of Grace where I think she was in Mexico and they make you swallow the balloons of heroin and then it burst while she was on the flight?
Mm.
Some tough stuff.
Yeah.
So in the scuffle, she injured six deputies, biting one, breaking the skin, kicking another one in the crotch. The sheriff's office said that Epstein shouted that the deputies were going to lose their jobs and end up in jail because she was related to powerful people who were friends with former President Trump. She didn't name Chris Christie, I think, in the moment, but that's who she was referring to. She was handcuffed to a wheelchair. She was getting so wild that she could be moved to airport security, continued shouting vulgarities and trying to bite everybody. They booked Epstein with six counts of battery on a police officer, three of disturbing the peace, one of resisting arrest by force, and one of remaining after forbidden. I guess that means when you won't get off the plane. She paid a bail of about $11,000 and was released. And there you go.
Does the name Epstein need any more bad press?
It's a tough year.
Yeah. I can't even watch Welcome Back, Kata anymore without having
this
a flashback.
Just took me to Pedophile Island.
Yeah,
the name.
Right.
They just had a story, and I don't even know what to believe. Well, this one I believe it was. I think it was Odell Beckham fell asleep on a plane and they had to they had to walk him off with guards and stuff. And it's like, I'll tell you this part that I would appreciate that I wish the people in charge would do. At a certain point when it becomes clear that they're going to remove you, if you could just go, I will fasten my seatbelt and not say another word if you don't do this, they always go too late.
Yeah.
And it's like, I get where they're coming from. On the other hand, we don't have to do this. I can do it. She doesn't sound like she's ever going to do it. And then I don't know what this I'm always torn because, like, Odell Beckham's like, I wasn't doing anything. Yeah. I was just sleeping on the plane. And then they're like, you were asked to put your seatbelt on 13 times and you didn't do it, which sounds like it. On the other hand, those people on that plane once you throw the switch, you cannot undo
God,
it.
No.
It's just now.
You're
now
off.
It is.
Yes.
It shall be, and that's what's happening.
And the more you fight it, the more the charges go up, and the more the plane turns against you.
Digging in.
Yes.
So I don't even know what Odell's thing was. Fell asleep. Wouldn't have his belt on.
Fell asleep. I'm making air quotes.
It sounded like he had a few drinks and passed out.
Couldn't somebody just buckle it for him?
I guess, but it. I don't know in this day and age if you want to be fiddling around a man of color's junk when he's passed out. You know what I mean?
Understood.
Especially after, is it Deshaun Watson?
Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Turnabout's fair play.
I get it.
I was rooting pretty hard for him Sunday.
You know, the flying has gotten, it's just bad.
Yeah. But when's the last time, honestly, Orny, when's the last time you flew? Coach.
Flew last? Oh, not coach. Okay, I didn't know you were saying coach. I'll tell you, they're doing something now, which bothers me.
Mm.
There's no room for the bags and coach. They're bringing them to first class.
Mm. Oh.
We're not paying to have our stuff cramped. The lady, the flight attendant, said, do you mind? She goes, whose gray knapsack? I go, it's mine. She goes, could you put it under your seat?
Outrageous.
No. I go, no.
You're not paying an extra grand to put that under your seat.
No.
I've found that if you do fly first class, the bins are all filled with the shit. I mean, this is let's talk about this for a second. Because I made this analogy on the show years and years and years ago, but I haven't brought it up since, which is, but it's more sort of global, right? So we've now decided that anybody who has money is the enemy. Every single thing I've read or heard about Twitter and Elon Musk, like, rich, Rich guy. We got one rich guy. He's a rich guy. Yeah. Jeff Bezos is rich. He owns a newspaper. That's how rich guys work. They own shit. But it's like, we got a rich guy. This rich, they're working white every once in a while. It's like a rich white guy is going to control. Yeah, that's what rich people do. They control things. They own teams and airlines and newspapers and online platforms. But we've gotten this crazy with this rich thing, right? And first class was first class. It was first class. You didn't enter first class if you didn't have a first class ticket.
Not to use the bathroom.
They fucking put a curtain up and they put a rope up and you sure as fuck. When I started flying, if I thought I was going to dump my Samsonite off over the first class guy's bin, now it is frequently full when I show up because I like to get on at the end of the flight. Let everyone else go fight it out. But I get it's all full. You would never do that. You would never shit up the first class head. You didn't deserve that. But
right.
See, now it's like, fuck this guy. But again, you don't want to pay for the ticket. It's become a metaphor for our society, which is
you don't want to pay to check your luggage.
Who wants to complain the whole time, doesn't want to buy a first class ticket or pay for it or have the bathroom or pay to check the luggage, but you're willing to then use it.
Well,
and I thought, what is different than this? And people they're kind of split about it. They're like, and they don't even enforce it. People just walk right through, go use the first class.
And they come up the whole flight and start playing with stuff in their bag.
They go,
they're like junks in your face.
All I'm saying is this. The analogy was, if you go to Dodger Stadium, you can sit out in the bleachers for $18 or you can get a skybox for $10,000. Mm-hmm. What if someone from the bleachers walked in your skybox like, I take a dump? You'd be like, no, I paid $10,000 for this thing. It's like, hey, man, what are you so uptight for? Like, what's wrong? Like, isn't every toilet for every anus? Like, that would seem ridiculous, but it's really just the same thing that applies, which is I paid more money than you, and this is part of what I get.
But not anymore.
Waiting for you to leave the bathroom.
No, the flight attendants are so afraid to get involved with anything. They're so afraid to say to somebody, hey, the coach bins are full. Mm. And I do still fly coach. I'll fly coach to Vegas this week or Southwest. Right. So, you know, I do. But I know the rules. I stay out. I stay out of first if I'm not in first.
Right.
But the flight attendants are so afraid. They just sit there. They don't care if someone's kicking your seat. They don't care about anything.
And they're catching on. I don't think they're doing anything about it during the flight. But, Adam, I forgot to tell you, one of the announcements when we were leaving Hawaii, because I was in the fucking back of the – way back of the plane, they said, please, in interest of safety, please only use the bathroom assigned to your section.
Your cabin.
That's your
cabin.
Your
I hear
class.
It all the time.
Right.
I quote it. I stand up. Not your cabin.
Not your cabin.
We had a baby in first class, okay, which is – that's fine.
Yeah.
But – while we're boarding, the parents are holding the kid up like it's a trophy, and everybody's stopping.
It's like
the
Lion King.
Look at the cute. I got to be honest with you. This kid was average looking. Not a good looking kid.
Yeah.
And it was holding up the book. So I hit the buzzer. Called the lady, the flight attendant. I go, hey, tell them to put the kid down till we board.
Mm-hmm.
The plane takes off. They let them march up and down the aisle and get all the attention they want.
Mm.
But we got to get back to Los Angeles.
That's right.
I'm the only one with common sense on this plane.
Yes.
With the balls to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody had to say it.
Yeah.
Kid was average.
Average. Five,
at best,
six.
At best.
Wasn't like it didn't have the, you know,
the sparkle.
It factor. Mm-hmm.
Was a Gerber baby.
Mm-hmm. I looked at it. I said, that kid just... That's a coach-looking baby.
Yeah.
And the parents were average, too. So I knew it wasn't like this, you know.
It was their kin.
And people are afraid to say it. Not all these kids are good-looking. And we need to stop pandering to these kids.
By
the way, let me just finish by saying this. Before
please.
Sorry to interrupt your own show.
No.
But why are we so fascinated and excited about kids? They're pretty easy to make.
Yeah.
I think we figured that out.
You make it by mistake.
Yeah. Just don't pull out.
Right.
And not only that, but it's probably a bad thing to be completely focused on the aesthetic from 0 to 4 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just constantly talking about how pretty you are. And look at those eyes. All that stuff we try to create a society that doesn't focus on the aesthetic. But yet they get a mouthful of it from the time they're born to about the time they, you know, hit the first grade. It's nothing but people leaning over them, talking about their aesthetic.
It's OnlyFans grooming.
That's right. Wow. It's grooming.
It's setting them up to expect that they deserve. And this kid knew. The little kid saw everybody, and then the kid made eye contact with me and knew I saw through it. And the kid knows the kid's not as hot as other. Like, you know, when the kid's in the carriage, passing other kids in the carriage, you know as a kid whether you got it.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And so when the kid saw, you know, Uncle Orny sitting there in his seat, and I just gave him the look. Yeah. He goes, "You're right."
Yeah, knowing that.
It's not going to work on me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. Do you think he knew you were Jewish?
I don't know.
Do you think that factored in?
I'm going back in the Jew closet.
Go back in the Jew closet. Let things cool down just a little bit.
Yeah.
It's gotten bad fast.
I know.
It really has.
There was even the Department of Homeland Security said, Jews, keep your head on a swivel. I've just got an alert.
Yeah, I mean, the rise in anti-Semitism just on this podcast.
I would not put on ceremonial anything Jewish and walk up and down, you know, New York City these days or Fairfax. I wouldn't do that.
My mom in Kansas, I don't know if she wants me talking about this, but whatever. Well, she was also there when the shooter shot up our Jewish community center, and she was there. She just took off her fucking Star of David. She's like, I don't feel comfortable wearing this right now. And I was like, fuck that. I'm getting a shirt that says latkes and dreidels. Like, this is so maddening. This is like, it just feels ridiculous. I guess until it happens to me, it'll feel ridiculous. It feels ridiculous.
Mm. Yeah, but these people don't know what a latke is or a dreidel. That's not, you know.
You're reminding me I got to get my Italian horn out for the holidays.
That's right.
I can see it.
That was a good looking.
Yeah, with a thicket of chest hair tangled up in it.
With that Italian horn medallion hit 79 or something.
John Travolta.
It hit hard, man. I don't know what
Saturday
it was.
Saturday Night Fever, I would imagine.
But I should get mine out.
Remember the clatter ring?
No.
It was like an Irish ring. Maybe it was just a Boston thing.
Oh, I know. Am I saying it wrong? I think it's, yes. No, you're right.
I remember the mood ring.
Yeah, this is the clatter ring.
You've seen this.
And you wear it one way depending if you're available.
It's like a promise-y ring, a virgin-y ring, right? It has a heart in it.
Yeah, but
it depends what way the heart is facing.
Mm-hmm, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an Irish
You've
heart thing.
You've seen
this. And good for scoring or like?
Well, you'd know if it was, there was an in.
Right.
You know what I mean?
If it was even on the table.
This is basically when the gays adopted the bandana system.
Right.
I was thinking.
Right? Is that what this ring is? A straight version of that?
Like, I don't know if sexual preference has anything to do with this. But what I'm thinking is we get you a few of these rings. Mm. You hand them over to the people that you think you've crossed over to.
Charlene Tilton.
Yeah. You let them know. You go, you let me know. Look at that. It looks like a chess piece.
Right. Which way you're going to wear this. And then that'll be my indication.
You put it on a direction that says single or spoken for, or how's it work?
I think the virgin heart facing your heart probably means something.
The cab lights
Gina,
off.
What's going on with chimes? Are they still a thing?
Like wind chimes?
No, like chimes, like your kid's name. And
charms.
Chimes, charms.
Charms are all the rage because you
are still hot?
On Tiffany and David Yurman and all the jewelry sites, it's big to get that engraved charm.
You get your kid.
Right, Brian?
You get to, like, your
My
dog.
Mom has any number of charms.
Really?
It's a different generation than obviously Gina, but my mom, I imagine it's big amongst your mom and her friends.
Yeah, the Tiffany charms with the engraving.
Yeah.
That's a big thing.
Grandkids' names.
Right.
Oh, okay.
The birth dates. Mm. It's the only way I remember that shit.
Mm-hmm. I had Lucky Chimes for breakfast. Chimes. They're magically delicious.
Well, let's talk. I don't know if you guys have seen this new trailer for Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. Do we even call him Prince Harry anymore?
You're
going to hate this trailer.
God,
I'm going to show you a minute.
I haven't seen it. I'm excited.
It's dropped, and the couples take some shots at the royal family. That seems like the whole purpose of this.
Quick question. Yeah. This is for what? A show?
Netflix.
A movie?
It's a two-parter on Netflix.
They got
Wait a minute. Is it Hulu or Netflix?
Netflix.
Netflix.
I have it as Netflix.
They got a $100 million deal.
Poofah.
I don't know why I hate them so much.
Well, you'll know when I play this for you. But it's called Harry and Meghan, and it shows a lot of the drama unveiling behind the scenes. Harry talks about the hierarchy of the family, claiming people inside the camp were leaking stories about him and Meghan. Meghan claims everything changed after she got, you know, married into the family, the hatred, the racism. This is a minute-long trailer. Enjoy.
It's really hard to look back on it now and go, what on earth happened?
What happened?
You hear that? That is the sound of hearts breaking all around the world.
She's becoming a royal rock star.
And then
everything changed. There's a hierarchy of the family. You know, there's leaking, but there's also planting of stories.
There was a war against Meghan to suit other people's genders.
It's about hatred. It's about race.
It's a dirty game. Pain and suffering of women marrying into this institution, this feeding frenzy.
I realized they're never going to protect you.
I was terrified. I didn't want history to repeat itself. Who knows the full truth?
All right.
We know the full truth.
Nah.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's going to be two volumes, one December 8th, one December 15th.
A pox upon anyone who watches that shit. These are this is everything that's wrong with everyone under 40. Mm. These two. Mm. Fucking richest, most privileged people on the planet just walking around with issues. So this thing of we were this, we're that, scared. She is an ingrate, which to me, the worst. I hate it when people have a crazy life of privilege and then just never, they're always put upon. They're talking about there's a target on her back. She always does the thing.
Well, don't forget about the bowing conversation that you love so much. When she goes, I just couldn't understand it. I couldn't wrap my head around it. When Harry said, you know, you're going to meet my grandmother, who's the Queen of England, and, you know, do you know how to bow? And she's like, why would I bow? This is grandma. Your grandma.
They're both such useless, self-entitled sacks of shit. With $100 million, they've never stopped talking about how tough their life is and how they're attacked and they're hurt. $100 million deal from Netflix. I hope they lose every penny on those two idiots. And then also, it's the same with the Obamas. Like, they got $100 million producing deal. What the fuck do they know about producing anything or creating anything? Which just kind of show they just want everyone's name on everything now, but it's so gross. Yeah. Yuck.
No, you love him.
Ugh.
Let's talk about somebody who
I don't know. Do I hate him more or her more? Because they're both fucking horrible.
I think you know the answer to that.
Her?
Mm.
Do you?
I hate her because she's always doing the race thing.
Can I ask you have an open mind and perhaps watch this documentary and then judge
I will watch
for
it. Yes, I will watch it. I watch Michelle Obama's, you know, forum for women just to have a fucking
laugh.
That's
all we can ask. And then at the end, if you want to declare that you like this promo more than the show, much like the sex hotlines where you liked.
Well, what's she doing with that other dude's dick in her mouth? That's
Meghan
what
Markle?
I'm saying.
Well, what kind of acting is that? It's just, okay, so what's going to happen is everybody quiet on the set. She's going to be going down on you. And then it's important you stay hard. She's going to stop, look at the camera, give some information. If you cut, you got to stay hard. You can't lose. Where's the other actor?
No, I'm good. Do I need makeup for this?
No, it's just you're actually out of the shot. Oh. The only thing we need is your pecker. If you could keep your pecker hard, it's
hair,
all.
Hair,
no,
trim.
I'm sorry. Your agent said that you had an unbelievable ability to sit there during copy and stay hard.
Do we need to lob him up or can I boom him?
We're going to boom him. It's going to be fine. He just needs
to. Does he have dialogue?
He's going to grunt. If he could maybe improv at the end, like do it or.
Is this Italian horn going to reflect off the lights or take it off?
You guys are worrying about way too much. If we could just do one, why don't we do a rehearsal?
I'm getting lockjaw over here. Can we
keep sucking. Put some gaffer's tape over the Italian horn. It'll knock the glare off. Yeah.
Cut. We got to change the film.
Does she need to be mic'd? Because she doesn't have a shirt on.
Yeah.
Can I boom her?
You can just boom her.
I'm a boomer.
Yeah, let's boom everybody. If we could just try one,
hey,
everybody.
If the boom mic dips into the shot, don't suck it. That's can, just the boom mic. Not everything that's longer than it is wide and black is a cock,
got
okay?
It. Uh-huh.
I've had
you're
this
only,
problem in other sets before.
You're only interested in sucking my cock. You don't want anything else in your mouth.
Wait, but the coffee says I want to suck the viewers.
Okay, can we have quiet on the set? Everybody back to first position. If we can take 52. Remember, don't say Holocaust this time.
Okay, I don't want to do, you know, I know I'm only the boom mic holder.
Yeah.
But I will do lobs as well. Anyway, forget about my credentials.
They're not wearing any clothes.
Your inner monologue is, I'm sucking off this guy's hog, but I wish it was yours.
Coffee.
I don't want to direct this from the sound station over here, but is that, did I capture the essence of what this is?
It's for you. The viewer should see the pecker as their pecker. As you can see, we've cast a very generic.
Hold on.
Pecker.
What?
Yes, you have what I would describe as an ordinary run of the mill. Not too big, not too small, certainly not thick.
Above average for sure.
Not memorable.
Not memorable.
Shut the fuck up,
bitch. Oh, if we could not fight, if we could just get through this.
Okay, you want to take?
What are the lines again? What are the lines? Hold on.
Oh, my God.
Call now. I can't wait to have your pecker in my mouth.
Okay, hold on a second. Hey. I'm sorry. The ad agency just asked me if we could do a take. His pecker is so small, we actually think you could do it with it in your mouth.
I have a solution to this problem. And by the way, in case you think I just fell off the turnip truck, I just did Grandpa Al Lewis's 900 commercial. So I've worked with some pretty big outfits.
Did you get hit?
I just did the boom.
Okay, but did he hit anybody on the set?
He punched a grip, but okay, I'm not here to tell tales out of school because I'm a professional.
Yeah.
Look, I got a bigger than average hog, and it stays hard all day. Mm. I'm hard now.
Okay.
And
this is a union gig.
Anyone can hold a boom mic, but not everyone can hold a boner over 53 takes. Well, I think you've proven you haven't. What if I just slide in?
They switch.
Is there any value? How would you feel? I want to get the actress's opinion about having two men feet to feet. You were in the middle. You go back and forth.
Oh, that's good because I can use one of them like a phone.
Yeah.
Like, call now.
Right. Right.
That's good.
Yes.
Yeah, I wasn't suggesting that.
Two men are going to shoot me here and then over there, I assume?
Like no, you're going to be feet to feet laying down. She's the star.
Yeah, I don't, trick photography to make two of me.
We were talking about the old swap out.
Want to replace?
We're not going down the double dong highway, if that's what you're asking. Okay. I was saying we swap my rock hard piece of sculpted alabaster out for this flaccid winch.
Can I see it?
It's out.
Let me see.
Hey, buddy, you're talking a lot of shit for a flaccid winch. Let me take a look. Oh, that is pretty impressive. It actually is very impressive.
What's your name? I forgot your name again, sir.
Rocco.
Rocco.
Yeah.
Do you know how to hold a boom mic?
Anyone can hold a boom mic.
That's true.
Yeah.
Rocco.
I feel this is you using the gig. I don't think I'm allowed to touch that boom
mic. How about this? Is this a crazy thought? We mic Rocco's pecker, and he booms the... Then you feel like you're part of it. Do you know what I mean?
I'll boom whatever I'm going to boom, buddy. From Rocco.
This is not a union house.
You used
Grandpa
the word grip.
Al shoot was.
Yeah, Grandpa Al had a grip?
That was a union.
Was it craft union services?
Well, fuck yeah. It's union.
Extras?
No, we didn't need extras on that shoot.
Look, I don't care whose cock is in my mouth, but I got another shoot in 15.
Okay, but are you going to get your lines right? Let me hear the lines again.
I call now because I wish it was your pecker in my mouth.
Okay, could you do it with more conviction? You're sort of looking up. You're kind of looks like you're thinking about your lines.
Let me grab this boom mic here.
Okay. Yeah.
Don't dip it.
Call now because I want your pecker in my mouth.
Okay. Well, I need you to think about little boys picking up the phone and calling you.
I got it.
No, I got it.
You're thinking about Grandpa.
That's a good direction.
I want you to think of perverted little men
boys.
Like
little
Rocco.
I'd like to point out that I didn't start to go soft until he mentioned little boys.
True, I just came, but I'll be back.
Okay, you said I'm talking to little boys.
Is there a way for us to redirect the calls from Grandpa's line to this line?
I think you're overthinking this. Okay. I shouldn't have brought that up.
Go ahead.
Okay, little boys. Oh, you are so cute. You call now, and then maybe you'll
maybe 18 plus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't mean little. No. I mean,
this is not coming back at this point.
You want her looking right at the lens, or should she be looking at the cameraman?
You look right, like that's the lens. Okay. Pretend that.
Yeah, put okay. Right in
got it.
Right at the lens.
You the boom guy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, no. He's first pecker now.
Okay.
Yeah.
He went
I'm
from
the
boom
guy.
You're second pecker. Right. Boom.
It was really fun working with you. Okay. Call now, because I want your pecker in my mouth.
Yeah. And is what that was good? But there was that extra tag. Remember the funny tag?
Right. Da 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 da. Oh!
Were we rolling on that? Because that was pretty good.
It was pretty good, but you weren't fully hard. Again, something happens
hard.
With the camera. Oh, it did?
It felt pretty hard.
Why don't you get him hard, then do the line?
Do we have a fluffer? Is this a union house?
No, you can fluff yourself.
Because the Grandpa House, they had a fluffer.
I'm sure they did.
And scene. All right. Thank you. Gina, why don't we bring it home?
That would be awesome. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Goo, 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 goo.
Gina. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, you can go to Tucson to the Rialto Theater and see me doing stand-up there December 15th. And then we're all heading to the Improv December 16th and 17th. And we're doing four live shows there and some stand-up there at the Improv in Tempe. And then Orny can be found at the Brea Improv coming up December 16th through the 18th. And then off to Jimmy Kimmel's Club.
Oh.
Sell out December 29th and 30th.
I need to sell out Brea.
Sell out Brea, please. And the special More Than Loud is available wherever on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
And
just hit a million. Sorry, just hit a million views.
Nice.
Congratulations. Yep. What's Wrong with Orny Adams, the name of the podcast. You can check that out as well. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Orny Adams and Gina Grad and Bo Bryan saying mahalo.
He said it wouldn't hurt and pushed it in my skirt. My mommy was surprised to see my belly rise. Make sure you get a copy of Adam's new book, Everything Reminds Me of Something, Advice, Answers, But No Apology. It's available everywhere. Find our books are sold. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And get your tickets to see the Ace Man. Get them right now at adamcarolla.com.